Well, good morning. Andres mentioned that it's a privilege for all of us to be here this morning, but particularly, it's a privilege for me to be here. I think it's the first time that I'm here at Grovesdale preaching to you. So, and you're going to have me for five more sessions on Wednesdays. So a few things that I would like to mention to you before I start here. I have a strong accent. Some people don't think so. But if you are wearing a hearing aid or something, I know that it magnifies. I'm sorry about that. There is not much I can do about that. The other thing is that I have ADD, and my tendency is getting louder and louder and louder as I speak. Not much I can do about it either. I have tried, and it's just when I get passionate, that's the way it comes. So I just tell you that so you prepare for some. If I get too excited, that's the reason why that is. Another thing, this is going to ring in about 25 minutes. That means that I have another 5 minutes. I'm going to go for 30. Because if I don't do this, those who know me like Lloyd and Elaine, they know that I can go forever. The message that I'm going to be sharing with you today is reaching out to others, Good Samaritan style. I have shared this message in many places. It's nothing that I particularly created for your church here. But when Tom told me that he wanted me to come for a Sunday morning, I thought this was the best message that I could give you. I love this message. I think it's very important. We all need to hear it. And it's such a message that is so simple that it's very easy to follow. Now, practicing it is another story, but it's an easy message to follow. Reaching out to others, Good Samaritan style. How am I going to go here? I will be talking about reaching out to others using the Good Samaritan story as a foundation, obviously. So there you have it. That's the story that I'm going to use as a foundation. But parallel to that, I will be using a personal story to illustrate the points that I made throughout the message. It's going to be a few things that we learned from the Good Samaritan. I'm going to give you an example of how it played in a situation that I experienced at one point. So you can have a... Jesus told a lot of stories, didn't he? So that's what I think is about. By the way, I'm the one with hair there. Not anymore, but I'm supposed to be the one that has hair in there, okay? So my personal story begins. That's what I would like to start. Meet René Lorenzana. Who's that? Obviously, it's a Latin name. René Lorenzana, I'm going to tell you how I got to his engineering department. I'm a civil engineer, but in those days, I was just a young fellow, finished school, and was ready to prepare my thesis, and I needed to look for a job. And I got to this place where this gentleman, René Lorenzana, was the director of the engineering department there. They told me that they could only pay me one-third of what I was worth when I got there. That's a strange concept probably for us here, but think about it. In those days in Honduras, 40% of the population that could work, unemployment rate was 40%. So what they meant by that was, Antonio, we can give you a job. The person, the director of that business that I went, he told me, but we can only pay you one-third. What he meant was most of the other engineers here are making three times what we can pay you. So we are paying you one-third of actually what we think you're worth, but we cannot do otherwise. So my answer was, thank you, but not thank you. And I left the place. And as soon as I got out of the gate of the building, it's a five-story building, I just got out of the gate and I just felt that the Holy Spirit told me, go back and take it. I have something for you here. Trying to be obedient, I just turned, got back to the office of the director there, and I told him, I'm taking it. And he was surprised to see me back. He said, great, bring your papers tomorrow. We are going to go from there. Next day, I brought all my papers for the contract and everything. And that was a Friday, the day that I brought the papers. On Monday, I arrived to the office. And I would show me a place where my desk was going to be and everything. And then this gentleman, René Lorenzana, imagine that my office is here. There is a small hall in here. And then his office is right there, right beside mine with a wall separating. And when they told him that I was there, this guy just raised his voice really loud and said, why do they keep on sending me these idiots that don't know anything, that just finished school rather than bring me people who are experienced? And poor young fellow, this is a young fellow. What do I do? What am I getting into? So bring him here, he said. That's René Lorenzana. So I got to his office and then he start asking me questions, actually crucifying me to see if I had some experience, and rolling his eyes every time that I told him, no, I don't have experience, I just finished school. finally he had something that I could do. Okay, give him something to do in there. That was my introduction to this gentleman. That was my first encounter with him. Are you with me? I'm just giving you an idea of where this story is going. Luke 10, 25, 37, that was a good place to start, the story that I told you. I'm not going to read the part that Andres already read. It's just this man that was trying to test Jesus, and then Jesus asked him the question, how do you get to heaven? He gave the right answer. Love God and your neighbor as you love yourself. And he said, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. And this is as far as Andres read. But he, wanting to justify himself, that's key there, told Jesus, but who is my neighbor? So making the connection with my story here, I have this detective there. Certainly not René Lorenzana for me, right? It might not be that my neighbor is that ogre that I just met. By the way, that continued afterwards. It's not just one time. I remember one time in the first week that I was working in this office, I was with some of the other fellow engineers and draftmen in there. Lunchtime. And then he just came and he looked at us and said, don't you have anything to do? This is lunchtime. And I knew, I'm getting into something here that is going to be very difficult for me. Went home, told my wife, and I don't know what I'm going to do. This man, for some reason, doesn't like me or don't like anybody. I don't know. So certainly not René Lorenzana, right? My neighbor. Well, because this man was trying to justify himself, we can do the same thing. Jesus continued with the story then. He told them a parable. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. By the way, it's understood in the story that this man that was stripped from all his health was a Jew. It's understood in the story that's the case. So just imagine how he felt when he saw a priest passing by. Oh, I'm saved. This man is going to stop and help me. Didn't. He was too busy doing religious stuff to stop and help, I guess. Likewise, a Levite when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by him on the other side. He must be getting pretty discouraged with the thing. Those who you thought could love you, they are not actually loving you. But a certain Samaritan, this morning on Sunday school, we were talking about when the people of Israel were taken to Babylon. And in different groups that were taken there, where there was a group that was not taken. They stayed in the area. In the area of Samaria there, and they got mixed with people that were not Jews. And as a result of that, they became people that Jews consider inferior. Actually, an insult in those days was, you are a Samaritan. That was an insult. Because these people were mixed. They were not pure Jews. So, can you imagine this man now is being introduced here and Jesus says, and then a Samaritan came, I'm done. I'm done with this. As he journeyed, came where this man was, and when he saw him, he was moved to compassion. There's something different here. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Jesus asked the man, and he said, he who showed mercy on him, go and do likewise. There is a strange twist, at least I noticed that got my attention. The way the story is told, it makes sense, but there is a strange twist. What I would have asked was, who was the neighbor to the Samaritan? Who's the one loving in this story? Who's the one fulfilling the commandment? Who is seeing the man that is suffering as a neighbor? That would be what we would expect as that, because we are seeing this man is an enemy, but he stopped and did this and cared for him and all that. But interesting, that's not the question that Jesus had. The question that Jesus asked was, who was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Not the one that is loving, the one that is receiving the love. So when I saw that, I thought, Could it be that the mess, when Jesus is saying about this mercy on him, show mercy on him, then when we show mercy on people, they start loving us? Quite a twist in there. Is the commandment, may people love you, or just love them? Is it possible to make people change their minds and start loving you? I think this is, got my attention here. Every time I think people look at me like that, I don't think I explained this really well, but it's important to me. There are four things that we are going to learn here from the Good Samaritan. We are going to start with the first one. Oh, yes, this is very important. The following definition of evangelism, sharing your faith, however you would like to call it, evangelism is becoming a bad word, I don't know why, but it has. This may help reduce anxiety in the thing that I'm going to be sharing with you. Evangelism is making sure that every time you share the gospel with someone, they become believers. That creates a lot of tension. Evangelism is knocking on doors of people that you don't know to tell them things that they don't want to listen to and expect that they're going to become Christian because of that. Knocking on doors. No wonder we have butterflies and all these things in the stomach. Look at this definition. It's a lot better, I think. Evangelism is cooperating with the Holy Spirit and others to bring one person one step closer to Jesus. Every time that we do that, and this, and that, and eventually the person gets to the point that probably they're going to receive Jesus. People are not projects that by the end of our talk, they are supposed to do something. We are supposed to give a tremendous example of love and mercy and all the things that we are talking. Who knows, they may change their views. So, in this story that I'm going to be telling you, I wish it was there, but this Holy Spirit part is not there. In mine, it's going to be a lot. So I want to let you know that. That's not one what we learned here in this story. The first thing we learn, he really saw the man. In the story, we are told that the three saw him, but actually only one, pay attention, only one actually saw him. And what the passage says is this, and when he saw him, he had compassion. That was the difference. He saw the man, he saw his suffering, he saw his condition, and as a result of that, compassion grew in his heart. That's what Jesus did all the time. So that's the first thing that we find here. So, are we too busy doing church work that we do not see what is more important to God? Is church work actually the most important thing for God, or things like this? So my story continues here. I'm going to start. This man continued barking at me, René Lorenzana. Literally barking, called me to his office, or every time he saw me was just like that. So I'm getting really anxious. I was scared of this man. I'm a young man. He could be my father in age. And one day I went back to my office from his office, really nervous. And when I was halfway in that small hallway that I told you that was there, I felt that the Lord told me, this was the Holy Spirit just told me, he's one of the main reasons why you are here. And then I stop right there, look at his office, and I say, okay. The fear was gone. I'm here for an important thing with this man. I objectively thought, I'm looking forward to this adventure that God has me with this man. Let's see where it takes me. For the first time I saw him, I was just seeing the ogre and all the things, as you can understand. For the first time, I saw that in that room may be a very needy man that needs Christ and a good friend. So it changed my mind. From that point forward, looking forward to it. And then I start asking questions about him and seeing who is this man, and ask other co-workers, and they were telling me he's an alcoholic, and Fridays and till Monday he just drinks. If you smell him on Monday, you're going to know what we are talking about. Destroyed his family, got divorced, and all his children left them. And I'm learning about this man. First thing, compassion started growing in my heart for the first time I saw him. It took, God pointed me to him. By the way, I hope you get that. The reason why I'm sharing this is for you to do the same. All of us work among unbelievers and people that don't know Christ. How many of us actually see them? With me? So, second thing that we learn is that he took the first step. So he went to him. He saw the man and didn't wait for anything. He went to him. The first step was taken by him. This is very simple. I don't want to expand. I think it's pretty much self-explanatory. When my story continues also, there is not much that I can say about this. I start trying to see, how can I get in the life of this man if God has me here for this purpose? And I was trying to get, and I couldn't find any common ground how to get there because he continued barking at me. I couldn't find the place where I was going to enter. But what I'm talking about here is, in my heart, I was already taking the first step. Are you with me? In my heart, I need to get in the life of that man. I already had taken the first step, and no practical pieces were there yet. So the third thing, he shared what he had. This is another thing that helps not to have this anxiety. I need to be an evangelist. Mm-mm. He shared what he had. And in his case were very simple things. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds. He must have had something that looked like bandages. Pouring oil and wine. He had oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal. He had a place where he could put him in a car for us. And then he took them to the place where he was going. And when he got to the inn, this is one important thing that I need to share here. He shared what he had. I get really, I don't like when I see Christians saying, but I don't have anything to share. I don't know what they are thinking that they don't have. I don't have anything to share with people. I don't even have a testimony because I was grown in a Mennonite home when I was treated well. I don't even have that I have this powerful testimony. I don't agree with that. I don't have anything to share. I don't have any abilities or thing that I could share with anybody. I was in Rick Warren's church in California one time, and he shared something that I said, come on, Rick. According to him, on average, every person has from 500 to 700 abilities that they can share with somebody else. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Well, I thought the same thing until I start going through what I have to give. Just to give an example, I was sharing this with a friend at work, and she told me, oh, by the way, I'm studying about this sharing and everything. And she showed me a book where there was this list of 246 skills that are actually verbs. Things that you have, abilities. The way it's presented here is this. If you have something or you are something that somebody else doesn't have, you have a gift for that person. How many of you drive? How many people are out there that may need a driver to go places? How many of you speak two languages? I do. How many of us use it every day for someone? It only works with those who don't have it. So in this list, when this friend gave it to me, I just went to my office, just quickly went through the list, and I have all those. Isn't that interesting? I don't have anything to give, and I have all those just from that list. So when I, just to continue sharing my story with you, remember, I'm looking, how can I get in the life of this man? The way it worked is this. One of them was programming. I'm not only an engineer, but I'm a computer programmer. I used to be a long time ago. Computer programmer. And I knew when I heard the following thing that I'm going to be sharing with you, I knew that this was what I needed. This is a dinosaur. This is the first actual portable computer that was actually there in the market that you could carry in your belt. I bought one of those about a year after I became an engineer, so I had one of those. I started learning it in about 3 weeks. Being a computer programmer, it became an extra limb for me. I loved it. It was wonderful. Well, I was there working at my desk at the office, and one of the fellow engineers there came and said, hey, you have one of those. Yeah, the boss has one of those. Really? Yeah, he doesn't know how to use it. He uses it for adding and subtracting. He doesn't even know how to multiply with it. This is not a calculator, you see. It's something more than that. So I knew that this is my ticket to the heart of this man. And I just, giving what I had, I just entered his office and said, hey, boss, what? The same reaction. I say, Alex tells me that you have one of these. And he said, yes, I do. And he tells me that you don't know how to use it. He said, yeah, that's about it. Adding and subtracting. And I told him, I can teach you. If you give me 2-3 half hours a week, I can teach you how to use the thing. And he looked at me and he said, really? Really? I told him, yes, it's up to you if you invite me or not. Next day, Antonio, to my office. And when I got to the office and I closed the door, he said, okay, first class. And he sat on his desk, and I started giving him the class. And for a few weeks, I was teaching him. He was not good. Learned some, but he was never going to become a programmer, per se. He could do little programs here and there, but it was my ticket to his heart. Are you with me? that opened the door. One day, not long after we started the class, he just put one day the computer aside and he told me, tell me about you. Who are you? And I start telling him who I was. My father was a professor for 30 years at the university engineering school. And he had been one of my students and he loved my dad. So the connection just started. Isn't that great? I just used what I had. In this case, was a calculator like that. Fourth thing, he stayed for the long run. He brought him to an inn and took care of him. He invested his money to take care of this man. And if there was more to be expenses that were coming, he was willing to pay. This is not a one time and then I'm gone and forget about you. Stay for the long run. Well, that's how the story with this gentleman happened with me. After these classes started, we start getting very close. I tried to witness with my life to him, and it seemed that it was working. Because eventually, we start talking about Jesus. Because he said, oh, my life is a mess. And he started telling me, say, I have a friend who can help you. His name is Jesus. And I started sharing my testimony with him, all that Jesus had done with me. And he couldn't get it. He said, you're privileged. God has some privileged people. It's not a privilege. And then I just went that how amazing it is that being sinners, God loves us even when we were there. Start sharing everything with him as much as I could without... Have you read that passage in Proverbs that says, did you find honey? Eat just enough, lest you end up hating it. The next verse says, keep your feet from your neighbor's house, lest he end up hating you. Don't you think there is a connection that the two verses are together? Just as we hate honey when you had too much or chocolate or whatever, the same thing. Let's not abuse. We are interested in their life, but there are moments in which we can talk and other moments in which we cannot. Well, this man being an alcoholic, we started a business together. And one time we were going to a business of land surveying. He asked me, would you like to be? Wonderful. I would love that. But we went to small towns and then we were there in a restaurant. And he said, Antonio, do you mind if I drink a beer? And then he started drinking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Until he was drunk. I never told him that, oh, you get too drunk. And then, all I did is every time when he was a heavy man. And I just put him on my shoulder that I was 121 pounds. And I just took him to the hotel and put him in the room. Never mentioned that to him. He was not a project, was a man that I was starting to love with all my heart. I don't want to make too much of this, but do you know what happened with this man and myself? My dad had died when I was 16 years old. I was early 20s at the time. And this man and I developed such a relationship that I would consider that he was a father figure to me, and he considered me a son. Amazing relationship we developed. But in the midst of that, I was his counselor, I was his pastor, I was all these other things that I was, his friend. And time started passing by, about 2 years and a half. Of this relationship building with this man. Fascinating things that God develops in the heart of people when we are willing and open to the voice of God. So what happened was, about 2.5 years later, as I told you, this man became my beloved brother. He ended up giving his life to Christ. The surprises that I never expected what was going to happen with this man was this. He became a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. This man decided almost the first week that he became a believer, that he was going to wake up every day at 4 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock just to spend time with God. This is not devotion, just to enjoy the presence of God, passionately in love with Jesus. Not only that, but this man became a committed evangelist. It didn't take long for him to make the commitment. Obviously, he was an evangelist. We are not all evangelists, but he was. He made the commitment that he was going to share the gospel with at least 5 people every day of his life. 5 people. He was driving on the road, a long road going places. And then he saw people hitchhiking. Rather than thinking, oh, if I take them, they're going to kill me. He just stopped, got them in, and there was an opportunity to eventually, if that the opportunity presented, he shared Jesus with them. Fascinating how he changed. One time, about 2 years later or 3 years, three years later, 5 more minutes. About 3 years later, I came to the United States after he got converted. I didn't tell you that, to study in seminary. And a year later, I received a letter from him telling me, this is the way he started the letter. Dear friend, father, brother, counselor, son, all these things that I knew he considered me were at the top. And I said, I'm writing you to let you know what the Lord Jesus has done in my life ever since you left. Antonio, my name is René Lorenzana, and I am not an alcoholic. Yeah, you know where he was coming from that. He had been an AA at one point. And what he told me was how Jesus had delivered him from drinking to the point that he could go to a bar or whatever and not have even the slightest desire to drink. So that was an inspiration for him to start growing with Christ. And I remember after we returned, as I said, 3 years later, one day, obviously we became great friends after that too, one night, 11 o'clock at night, somebody knocked on my door at my house. And then when I went, it was him with tears in his eyes. I had to come. I had to tell somebody. And he entered, he said, a fellow engineer at the place that I'm working now invited me to have dinner with his family. And as we were eating dinner, I just felt that it was a good opportunity. It got to the point that I could share Jesus with them. Antonio and the whole family received Jesus with me this night. And he just went in my living room with his arms just praising God, tears flowing. And I said, you know where my conclusion was? And to think that this man is what he is today because one day I saw him. If I had never seen the man, I would have spent 3 miserable years in that place. I saw him. Would you like for me, can you give me some grace here and tell you a parallel story that happened there? There was this fellow at our work. His name was Jose Lucas, young fellow, working at the same office. Because this, I told you a very elaborate, time-consuming thing that I was doing during that time with this man, but something else was happening. There was this other man, a communist named Jose Lucas. And one day, 30 seconds of sharing Jesus, they were asking me questions and trying to get me and test me like Jesus, they were doing it here. And I told them, guys, the Bible is not for playing with these puzzles that you're finding in there. The Bible is about a man named Jesus Christ that transforms life, and I know it because he transformed mine. 30 seconds at the most that I shared with them. And this was a Lucas guy. He just got really upset when he heard that. Imagine, he reacted to that. And never smile at me, always from far. Well, what did I do with Jose Lucas? A word of testimony, 30 seconds. A bag of candy. I came to Miami for some vacation with my wife, and I went to, I think it was a CVC or one CVS or one of those convenience stores, and it was Eastern. So when I entered the store, plenty of candy all over the place, and the Lord told me, buy a bag of candy for Jose Lucas. Nobody else. Just imagine, I'm not a gift giver. I'm honestly not. So when I got to the office, when I returned, Jose Lucas, I brought you this. And then he could hardly tell me thank you because he didn't particularly like me. And then my testimony, my life, you see when I'm repeating this? Life is very important into this. Do you know that we have something that people out there are desperately of receiving? We should have the confidence that we have something that they don't. Without that confidence, it's going to be very hard for us to actually touch lives. We don't need to be afraid to be what Jesus had made us out there. So that's what I was doing there. So a bag of candy in my personal life, as I said, things that were going on and he was observing. I knew that he was observing, not that I was doing it for that. Well, one day, this man, Jose Lucas, came to my office. At that time, I had already had my own office in the building, and he knocked on the door, and I just saw a person that was completely depressed on the doorway there. And I said, come in. And when the door opened, it was Jose Lucas there. And when I saw his face, that he was really depressed and feeling bad, I told him, what do you want? What can I do for you? You know what he told me? I want that thing that you have. I thought it was great. I want that thing. And I told him, come here. And I pray for him. We became great friends. Now big smile, received Jesus as his Savior, and went from there. Another story. I want that thing that you have. He became a follower of Christ. But we need to see people. So let me repeat the things that I just shared with you. It's a simple message, but you can go do it tomorrow. The Good Samaritan saw the man. Are you seeing people around you? Are you allowing God to lead you to the people that he would like for you to touch? Or you just go to work and do what you do and go to church on Sunday? And you know, I don't need to go there. I already mentioned that. Are you seeing people? Are you taking the first step when God shows you? Have you eaten lunch with that person? Just a simple thing like that. Just go eat lunch with the person. Invite him to your house where he can meet other Christians and start having a testimony of what this is all about or whatever it is that the Lord leads you. Take the first step. Share what you have. What do you have? It might be this wonderful thing that Mennonites have, that service and caring and all that stuff that we all know abound in Mennonite. Are you giving them that? How about it's not a one-shot thing, but maybe the Lord is asking you to spend some time with that. And I know what you're thinking, because I know some Mennonites that they struggle with this. Yeah, time-consuming, these people are hard. How is it? Ralph Nabier used to call them extra grace required people because they are so low. These might not be people that have problems like that. I'm not telling you, go look for the person that hates you the most and look for the person that has the most need. Look for the person that the Lord is leading you to. It might be someone that you think is very stable and everything, and he might not be. He might be in desperate need of Jesus, and God, that's what he's leading you to, this person. Four things that are very simple. I know this, probably your heart is jumping because this goes exactly where Andres is. You know how Andres is. He cannot find anybody that doesn't know God. Even the Amish around here, you know the story. So this is a simple message that I invite you to pay attention to. How are you going to do it is up to you. But I challenge you, do not let this simple teaching pass by you without doing anything with it. Four simple things that you can learn from the Good Samaritan. Amen? Thank you. Blessings. Let me pray for you before I finish here. Father, this is a simple message. Father, there are different areas here that may touch any of us. The story, the 4 points, the attitude of the Levite and the priest, or even the attitude of the man who presented this question to Jesus. Whatever, Lord, and whatever your Holy Spirit has been touching each and every one of my brothers and sisters here, Father, I just pray that you don't let them forget about it, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you bring these to practical steps in their life, that they may find a way to make whatever they learned this morning practical, so that they can touch the life of others, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.